Hello, you lovely lot, and welcome back to Who Knew, a Doctor Who podcast. I am your host, as always, Josh Carr. And before we get into it, we're back. It's been a little bit patchy recently. Apologies. I've had a lot on and a lot of wild things going on in my life. And I went on holiday because I wanted a break from not doing podcasts. So but we are back now. We've got a steady run, hopefully, until the new year of weekly podcasts that will be coming at your ears. But today, I yet again have brought the goods and I have a wonderful guest. For all you youngins out there, a TikTok star and also someone who works in the film and TV industry, it's the wonderful Fettin, aka Mary Fetts. How are you?
Hi! Hello! I'm excited to be here, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, I am very excited to have you here. It's nice for someone to be excited to be here as well. That's lovely to hear. This podcast, as I mentioned, is a Doctor Who podcast where we talk all about Doctor Who and the wonderful people in and around it. So talking of Doctor Who, first of all, before we get into the main bulk of the episode, a lot's happened since I last recorded. Mainly, we have a title for the centenary special, which I'm very excited for, The Power of the Doctor. I'm getting quite excited. Fettin, how do you feel?
Look at my face. I'm getting so excited. Just like, like as soon as you say Doctor Who, I'm sold. You know, I could talk about Doctor Who for hours, for days. So yeah, I'm excited to delve into it. And I'll be honest though, I've been trying to avoid thinking about next month's episode just because it hurts. Like every regeneration I cry. Every regeneration I've cried, but this one is, I think, going to hurt the most, and I'm scared.
Yeah, I am scared because I mean, I'm scared for multiple reasons. I'm always scared for an episode of Doctor Who because I don't want it to be bad. They never are, but I get those pre-Who jitters, and yeah, I cry at every regeneration as well, every single one without fail. But maybe not Collins, because it wasn't Colin, it was Sylvester in a wig, and you know that it ruined the emotional core of it a little bit for me. Yeah. But the rest get me weepy. What are you most excited for the special then? Because it's coming up thick and fast. I mean, it's probably going to be out a couple of weeks after this comes out. So have you got any big predictions?
Look, in terms of predictions, it's difficult because there's so many things that need to be wrapped up that I actually don't understand how they're going to fit it all into one episode. I know it's, I think, 90 minutes, did they say?
Yeah.
I still can't see how they're going to fit everything in. There's so many loose ends. And I think that's one of my panics about it, is that Jodie's Doctor is just going to leave with so many loose ends. I do think we'll probably get a kiss with 13 and Yaz. If we don't, I'm going to, like, it's good. I actually will find it very bizarre if we don't. I really would. I think that'd be so weird. She is, I think, is she the only Doctor that's not kissed someone?
Did Capaldi?
Capaldi kissed. Did he kiss Missy?
Yeah. Well, Missy sort of kissed. Forced herself on him in quite an awful way. But yeah, I think Jodie is the only one not to have a kiss. I mean, people who are regular listeners of the show and have listened over the past year or so have seen my gradual decline. No, rise. to become a Phasmin stan, and I am just so on board with it now. I was just sort of like, oh, whatever.
I was the same actually. I don't know if you would agree with this. I actually really don't think it was planned. If you watch their first series, so series 11, I don't get those vibes in the slightest. It doesn't even seem like they're going to lead up to that. So for me, I wasn't feeling it. You know, there were people who were shipping them from that first series they were in. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. No idea. Mm. And then now they obviously have gone down that route. And they have to finish it off. Like with the last episode, that was a whole, what would you call it? It was like a love note towards both of them. So yeah, I think there is going to be probably like, I think it's going to be their first and last kiss. And then the doctor's going to regenerate.
Stop.
Yeah. Because, you know, the doctor's, that's just how the doctor rolls, really. Unlucky in love.
I think it would be really funny if a lot of other characters kiss, but not Jodie and Yaz. I think if you had like a, if you had a Dan and Carver Easter kiss, and then you have like a Belle and Vinda kiss, and then like a master, Swarm and Azor bareback.
What were they called again? The
Cybermasters.
What box guy? What was that guy called? Thieves.
Oh, the Barton. Barton.
Yeah, Barton. He, oh my God, he uttered my favourite ever line. Like, I think about it all the time when he's like, what should I say? Plain thieves.
I love it.
So much the first time I watched that, because it was like, whoa, that you are roasting them, mate.
So you ship the Master and Lenny Henry? That's an interesting one. I'm in.
No, I think that'd be really funny if that happened.
Or we just really go, like, so yeah. The Master and Carver Easter, they have a little snog.
Yep, I see it.
I'm in. Yeah. So basically our prediction is kisses for everyone.
Well, yeah, no, I'm up for that. I'm okay with that. But yeah, there is a lot of people coming back in this episode. A lot of things happening. A lot of villains coming back. So it's giving me Journey's End vibes. You know, and if it goes down that vibe, like, I think it will be good, but I'm not worried about like so many people coming back. I'm just worried about how many things that need to be wrapped up.
Yeah.
Well, that's my worry, is how they're going to fit that all in.
I think it's going to be tough anyway. I mean, it's come out recently that apparently when they were making this episode, they had no assurances that Doctor Who was going to continue. So they wrote this with the intention of it being the last ever episode of Doctor Who.
What?
Apparently.
I'm going to tell you now. I don't think that's very likely.
You don't think that's true?
Because
Matt Strevens, the producer, said that he only found out about Russell coming back the day before it was announced.
Yeah, honestly, I'm hoping Ruth comes back.
Yeah. See, she's got to pop up. Surely. Oh my God!
I love Ruth so much.
So much to wrap up. I can't see how they can do it in 90 minutes.
And I don't know how they can explain that, like, not properly anyway. Yeah. Because, you know, for me, I do like, she's pre-Hartnell, so like that's what I see it as. But then there's the whole question about the TARDIS and why it's stuck as the TARDIS with her as well when the chameleon circuit broke with Hartnell. Like, there are some questions there that I would love answering.
I personally, I've had people have come for me on Twitter for saying this. Okay. I'm fine with her being pre-Hartnell.
Yeah, I'm fine with it too.
I just really like, I much prefer her between 2 and 3. I think that's the sweet spot. And I think then you just open up the idea that there can be any doctor between any doctor. And you can just bring in like a stunt casting which I could see Russell doing in a heartbeat for one episode. It's just like, yeah, this guy came between the 10th Doctor and the 11th Doctor, and he was just nabbed by the Time Lords, and they just were like, yeah, just be in for a bit, and then they just chucked him back where he was. Why not? I mean, I just prefer that, but...
Either way, I just want to know. I would like to know. But yeah, is there anything that you really want to learn about in the last episode? I love how I'm interviewing you at the moment, actually.
I'm down.
Got a list of questions.
I like this. Okay. Is there anything I want to know?
Like, what's your number one thing you just want to see, you want the answers to?
I want more of Swarm and Azure, because I feel like they weren't given the best ending. They started very strong and then it all just sort of petered out and they just were like, okay. And Time, the fact that Time's now a person, and I want to know a bit more about that, please. I would be absolutely fine at this point. I don't think fan service should always be a dirty word. I just want loads of daft fun. I just want it to be a bit of a shit show. I wouldn't mind if it's a bit of a shit show, but it's just a laugh.
Yeah.
I am absolutely fine with that, because if I'm honest, the Chibnall era is not my favourite. It's not my least favourite, but I've quite enjoyed the fact that some of it is just, this is all a load of nonsense, but just have a bit of fun. And I'm in for that. I can go for that. So if the centenary is just a big bombastic, is a load of shit in your face, then I'm down just to, you know.
I think it will be explosive.
Lounge out on the sofa and watch a bit of mad TV. I'm down for that.
I think it's going to be quite explosive. But I think it's going to end extremely emotional.
Yeah. I've said this before. I think Kate is dead. She is dead. She's Kate? Gone. Yeah.
Kate Stewart.
I think she's dying. Yeah.
My God, where's that prediction come from?
I just think she's dead. I don't know. I think she's the perfect person to kill. If you're going to kill someone.
Mm.
I can't remember what episode I said it in, but I said, like, comparing it a bit to the Avengers, the first Avengers film, if you kill her off, spoilers for Avengers, it's 10 years old, sorry guys, if you haven't seen it already, but if they kill her off, like when they killed off Coulson, and it's like a death that like unites all of the team and brings everybody together to fight the big bad, I think that'd work. And I don't want her
to die, but like for you it makes sense. And
I don't really mind either way.
It would be bold of him to kill off a character that wasn't originally his. I actually think would be quite bold, because
he did introduce the character into the main show, so he did like sort of introduce this version, and that, so maybe he can kill her. Like, if he tries to kill Ace and Tegan, I'm going to his house and I am not happy.
I don't think that's gonna happen.
No
way.
Don't do that, please.
That's dangerous.
Kill Kate. Just kill Kate. I'm gonna write that on a wall, like that bit in Alan Partridge.
Just like that. That completes my presentation.
Just kill Kate. Anyway, enough of killing Kate. Let's talk about you. That's what we're here for. But I loved that little centenary tangent. How did you become a Doctor Who fan? It's where I usually start. We've started in a different place, but let's go back to this. So how did you become a Doctor Who fan?
I was 14, and so this was 2005. I'm old, guys. And I was actually just flicking through the channels, and I was on, I'm pretty sure I was watching CBBC, because series one, they used to put it on CBBC because it was like, it was more towards the younger demographic back then. and it has grown into more like the whole family sort of thing now. But yeah, I was on CBBC and flicking through channels, and I came across, I think it was the werewolf one, Tooth and Claw, with Nine and Rose. And I remember watching that and I was like, interesting. Like, I don't think I'd watched anything like that before. So, and then this was before like proper internet as well. Like, yeah. I had to wait for it to come back on TV. But then I just ended up getting into the routine. And like, I think it was every Saturday they would just release it and I would go and watch it. And then I think I had to go back and rewatch the first episode at a later point because I'd missed it. But yeah, I was hooked pretty much from the first episode, and I became a massive fan. And so it's been going on for about 16 years now. You can see like Doctor Who art behind me on the wall. And
yes, I love that place box sign, by the way.
Yeah.
That is so nice. I want one. I want one like there.
It's worth it.
Try and find it. Well, I'm going to try and find it.
I got this from the Who shop in London.
Oh, I love the Who shop. Who shop's the best. Did you do the thing? I don't want to spoil it for people.
I haven't yet.
Yeah, I know
what you're talking about.
So good.
But
that was nonsense to anyone who was listening then who doesn't know what we're talking about. But anyway, just look up the Who shop. Have a little trip there one day if you're ever in town, and have fun because it's really fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so 2005 is like the starting point for most people. It's my starting point as well. 14 is quite old. I'm always intrigued by the age of people. And usually they're about the age that I was, which is like, I was like prime age, like eight.
Yeah.
Eight or nine. Yeah, I was like eight or nine around like 2005, 2006. That is like, I am the target demographic.
Yeah, when it first started, like you'd have been perfect target. I was just such a nerdy 14-year-old, and watching CBBC still at 14, I had no shame. Like,
oh, I still watch CBBC now. It's so good. There's some great stuff on there. Tracy Beaker, get on that.
Tracy Beaker absolutely slapped. Like, I still listen to the theme song.
Oh, me and Jess, I had to stop myself from singing it then. I was that close. Yeah, no, we're not doing this. me and Jess watch Tracy Beaker all the time. It is a god tier show. One thing that I'm intrigued by, because obviously you work in the film and TV industry. If I'm right, you work in the AD department.
Yes, assistant
which I, director. I will let you explain later on when we get into it. But I was just intrigued because a lot of people that I come across through this and various things that are sort of around my age that work in the TV industry, a lot of them got into it because of Doctor Who. And they would deem that to be like one of their major driving forces behind it. Would you say that it's the same for you, or was it more of an amalgamation of things?
No, it was pretty much Doctor Who. It was Doctor Who. I'm no special, apparently. I got into TV and film mainly because of Doctor Who, but I did express interest before that. Like, I do remember when I was really, really young on CBBS, I was about maybe six or seven, they had this little segment on how they would make stop motion animation. And I found it so fascinating. I was like, I need to try this. Honestly, I was about 6 or 7 years old, and this was the 90s. There was no like computers in the houses. There was no, I didn't really even at that age grasp the concept properly, because what I ended up doing is I started making my like little short films at home using stop motion animation, and I'm using quotation marks here because they weren't really stop motion animation, because I did not understand the concept. I would get my dad's camcorder, which was massive, the ones you'd put on your shoulder, and I didn't really understand that you'd have to take like 100 photos a second or whatever to make stop motion. So I would just click record and then unclick it really quickly, so instead you'd get like little jags of like 1 second clips and it's like moving around, and then my voice going, oh, I'm going to the shops or something like it was. Yeah. I really want to find these tapes because I'm sure they're somewhere. I just think it'd be so funny to look back at it because they weren't good, as you'd expect from a 6-year-old. But so I already had interest in making stuff, but it was with Doctor Who, and I got so passionately into it. And there was Doctor Who Confidential, which, you know, yes. I was like, oh my God, this would be so, I'd love to work behind the cameras. And yeah, that's pretty much it. That's when I was like, yeah, I'm going to pursue it.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that was one thing that I've actually got written in my notes. I was like, Doctor Who Confidential, I'm intrigued if that played a part, because I know one person who's a friend of the show, Will Carlisle, aka Mr. TARDIS. I know he said that Doctor Who Confidential was like the first time he watched it was, I want to work in film and TV, and yeah. Now he does. And I've just seen so many people say that Doctor Who Confidential was the thing that got them in.
I wish they'd bring it back, but I don't know if they actually would, because they've just become so much more secretive.
Well, I know that there's a spin-off that is rumoured called Doctor Who Unleashed, which is supposedly a new version of Confidential, which may be happening. I don't know if you know more. You have it. You're in the industry.
Do you know what? I have to be actually quite be careful about the things I say. Okay. I don't want to get blacklisted by Russell T. Davis. Look, like, I do hear things. Don't get me wrong. Like, I knew about David Tennant coming back before everyone knew. Shocked me to my absolute core. I wish I actually didn't know. I remember when I found out, like, someone in the industry was like, oh no, yeah, David Tennant's coming back, and I was like, no, he's not. They were like, no, he is. I was like, well, he's not though. I just thought they were joking, and they were right. Like, David Tennant was coming back. So I do hear things. I do know there's things that are being filmed for Doctor Who. I don't know whether it's called Unleashed. I don't know whether I just know people who have worked on it. Because the thing is, when I work on projects, I'll tell everyone about my love for Doctor Who. I talk about it all the time. And sometimes people will say, like, oh, I was working on this thing for Doctor Who, or I was filming something about, like, it was like a documentary style about Doctor Who, and like, and I'd be like, uh-huh.
Yeah, well, I get that, because I obviously not to the level that you get, but I know a lot of people who know a lot of people sometimes, and little bits of information drip feed down and leak, and I don't really like it. I don't like knowing. I don't want to know. The announcement. I like the fanfare of being involved. Just losing my mind. Yeah. Where, like, when it's just someone tells me and then I can't tell anyone, and I'm just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that David Tennant thing was just, I wish I did not know that, honestly.
Yeah.
And then I do remember they said to me, oh, would you like to know what happens to the Doctor in the last episode? I was like, no, absolutely. Oh, do not say anything. Like, I actually genuinely don't. I proper had to stop them. Because they knew more about the centenary, and I don't want to know. It hurts as it does. I just don't want to know. I do hear about things. I knew that they were filming in Camden before it got leaked, because I applied to work on that date.
Oh.
And I didn't get it. And I know the person who beat me to it, because they applied just before me, like minutes before me, and they ended up getting, because they were here for a few days and they needed like an extra person to help out, and you know, when the jobs come through, they don't say it's for Doctor Who, they will say it's Bad Wolf Productions, and obviously
I
know it's being filmed around now. Like, how many productions does Bad Wolf have? Not like super many. So yeah, when that does come through, I can usually narrow it down and I'll know it's Doctor Who. And yeah, I just, you know, that hurt, that Camden day, because everyone went to Camden and I was just there at home sitting like really bitter, being like, oh, I would have been there. I would have been there if I'd applied like 3 minutes before. It's such a bitter day for me. Yeah, I wish I was there. But that's just how the industry is. You know, you see jobs come in and go, and you apply and just hope that you get it. I am still, obviously, I'm hoping one day I will work on Doctor Who. I'm still trying.
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed. And, you know, at least it's still getting made. So there's always a chance.
Yes.
That is gutting about the Camden filming. That was a mental day. That was such a mad day on Twitter. I was at work. No, I live like 2 hours away. Yeah. So I was sat at work and like people were just messaging me like, oh my God, everyone is on set. This is new costume. The TARDIS is there. Will's there. And it's like, it's just like, this is the most insane day. But
it was massive.
There is one Doctor Who fan in my office. Hi Albert, if you're listening, there is one Doctor Who fan, and it was just, the entire day was just me running to his desk just going, look at this, look.
Yeah, we have a group chat which just explodes every time there's like news released. I was trying very hard not to go down there with my friends, just because I was really worried that they would someone would recognize me from the industry and they'd be like, yeah, you didn't get the job, let it go. And I'm there like just like watching them. So I thought that might look a bit creepy, so I didn't go.
Yeah, so I mean, let's talk about the industry, because it fascinates me, and I'm one of those people who's always sort of had aspirations of one day doing something in film or TV or something creative. So it's always interesting to get to speak to someone who's sort of in the thick of that industry and someone who's very honest. Anyone who's seen your TikToks, like, you are very open and very honest about how the industry is. And it's very refreshing to hear, to be honest. So how did you get started? Because obviously now you've worked on some amazing productions. I know just from looking at your TikTok recently, you've been working on The Sandman and Slow Horses as well with Gary Oldman.
Yeah, Slow Horses was a one that I worked on a lot. So yeah. I just have so much stuff from that, like lots of footage and stuff. I'm just waiting for season 2 to drop, because they finally got a date. I think it's December 2nd. But I have so much like behind the scenes stuff that I really want to talk about from season 2, so I'm just holding my tongue till then. And yeah, Sandman, I was on that for around a month, I think it was. Like, this was filmed such a long time ago. This was back in sort of late 2020, and it's only just come out.
Oh right. Yes, that is a long time, isn't it?
A long, long time. But I do remember the day I got there, and sometimes you don't know what you're working on. And they have a lot of code names, and I was trying to figure out what I was on. Like, I actually had no idea. No one told me. And I saw Neil Gaiman's name right at the top, and I was like,
oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, Neil Gaiman, what is this? I was super excited. So I didn't know that was going to be as big as it is. It is.
Haven't watched it yet. I haven't watched it. It's on my list. Jess wants to watch it, but she keeps saying that it's an autumn and winter show that needs to be watched in autumn and winter. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'll wait, but not too long, because I don't want anything spoiled, because I know nothing about it. So I'm very excited to dive in. But yeah, so obviously you're now working on productions like this. How did you get started in the industry?
A lot of people ask me this, and honestly, like, you'll see why I make these videos and why I make so many like advice and tips on how to get into the industry is because I had an absolutely hellish time trying to get into the industry myself. You know, I have no contacts in the industry. Well, I didn't at the time. And I graduated in 2014. How have I forgotten what year I've graduated? I'm getting old. So yeah, 2014, I graduated. I could not find any job, let alone in the film industry. Like it was such a bad year to try to get employment anywhere. I was applying left, right, and center. I remember the only thing I could find was I became a Pizza Hut delivery driver. And I just ended up jumping job to job. And I spent 4 years applying to things. 4 years just like filling out applications, and it takes up so much of your time as well doing all this. Like some of them they want you to come up with like show ideas and things like that. So yeah, I spent 4 years trying to get in, and I remember I saw something posted on a Facebook group, and I talk about this Facebook group all the time on my account, which is People in TV Runners. And I came across this trainee scheme opportunity, and it's called the Indie Diversity Trainee Scheme, Pact Indie. And I just remember thinking, this is my last thing. I'm just going to apply to this. And if I don't get it, and I remember thinking, I won't get it. If I don't get it, I'm just going to leave it. I'm too tired. I'm very broke. Like, I need to find a career and settle down. And I applied for it. I went to the assessment. They had like an assessment day. So they chose me for that. And I was like, oh, interesting. I went there. There was about 800 people there. They made us do like activities. And, yeah. They made us do like activities and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to stand out within 800 people. You don't think you're going to stand out in a massive crowd like that, you know? You can clearly see I don't have a lot of self-confidence, but anyway. And they could only choose 8 people from those like 800. And weeks went past, and I got an email saying I was one of the 8. And I'm still shocked to that, to be honest. I don't understand. I still feel like they made the wrong choice. So I ended up getting an internship. I was an office runner for a company that mainly did factual entertainment jobs. So I ended up going into factual entertainment first, which is unscripted. Worked up to being a junior researcher. So I was a junior researcher on How to Spend It Well at Christmas with Philip Schofield. And that was like the last thing I kind of did. And then I thought, I'm making a switch to scripted film and TV. Mm-hmm. Because it came back to Doctor Who. That's what I really thought about. Yeah. My dream is to work on Doctor Who. And I had to choose which sector I wanted to work in. I could either work in unscripted or scripted. And Doctor Who's in scripted. So that was already like, that was chosen for me. I had to make the switch. Mm-hmm. I ended up joining another trainee scheme, but this time it was in scripted film and TV. They're called Call Time. I've spoken about them before as well, my account. And they helped me get into the industry, into the scripted industry. And yeah, that's kind of how it went. And from there, it's networking.
Yeah.
And just meeting people and having a group of people that is going to employ you, really.
Isn't networking just the worst?
It's the worst.
It's just, I feel for you because I imagine it is. I saw a TikTok that you did that was talking about networking and how it's just so vital to the film industry.
It's like one of the number one things, really, to ensure that you get your next job. Because the majority of the jobs you get is going to be word of mouth, and it's going to be people just wanting to hire you again. That is the truth. So yeah, there's a lot of networking involved, but the way I approach networking now is so different from how I did it before. And I don't even like to use the word networking anymore because it just sounds scary. The way I approach it is you're making friends. You're making friends. You're trying to build like a friendship group. It's kind of like that. It's a friendship group that you're going to work with again and again and again, because you guys get along with each other. It's honestly simply mainly that people just want to work with their friends because they trust them, they know them, they know they're going to have a better time with them. The problem with the film industry is that it's such a high responsibility, like every role you get is so high responsibility that they need people reliable. So that's why people are going to try and employ people they know and people they're friends with. So yeah, networking is very important, but it's really just becoming friends with people, like adding them on social media. And not everyone, you know, like obviously just assess the time and moment for everything. But if you're friendly, just add people on Instagram and keep in touch. They might see your posts and then go, oh yeah, like Fettin was great to work with, so I'll just like hit her up again and I'll message her maybe directly on Instagram and things like that, so people will stay in touch that way. But yeah, that's my number one tip with networking is don't actually approach it as networking, just approach it as making friends. And here's the thing, if someone doesn't want to be friendly with you, that's fine. You don't push it, because that person isn't going to do anything for you. In all honesty, like if they don't like you or if they're not vibing with you, they're most likely not gonna reach out to you for a job in the future, you know? So don't worry about those people. Just focus on people you do get along with and stick with them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, wonderful advice. And the advice that you give on TikTok is just, again, I'm not necessarily aiming to get into the same like industry as you or anything, but just listening to it, one, it's fascinating, but also it's just seems to be so helpful for people. What made you want to do that? What made you want to go so public and be so open about it on TikTok?
There was a few reasons. One I mentioned earlier is because it was so hard for me to get into the film industry. I wanted to do something that helped others. Just because working in the industry as well now, it does massively lack in diversity. It does. It lacks in people who are disabled. It lacks in so many areas. And one of the main reasons for that is because it's so gatekept. It's not accessible at all. And, you know, if you don't come from like a good financial background, it's very hard to get in, because normally you have to like, I don't know, be living at home. So you're not paying rent, and maybe you're working part time or not working at all while you're trying to get into the industry and things like that. And there's courses that cost money. So there's so many things that just eat up so much of your time and energy and money trying to get into the industry. And it's so unnecessary. It's only once you get into the industry that you find out there are certain ways to get in that shouldn't have been so hard. So I feel like I'm rambling right now, but basically.
No, you're not at all. This is perfect.
I'm sometimes just like talking way too long.
You're on a podcast. This is the place. This is the place to ramble. I love it.
I just mainly I wanted it to be more accessible. I would love to see better representation. And the way to have better representation in front of the camera is to have good representation behind the cameras first. Otherwise, it's just not going to reflect very well. So that was my main reason. In terms of just starting TikTok, I was bored. It was the middle of lockdown. It was summer 2020. I was in a very, very bad state. I wasn't going through a good time. I'd lost my job, and the film industry shut down. I also used to have another job in a theater as well on the side that shut down. So I had no job. I started to lose so much creativity, and I felt like I was going insane being locked up and not doing anything creative. So I thought I'd just start TikTok. I did not expect it to do well at all. So that's been quite confusing because I actually used to do YouTube before TikTok, and that really? Did not do well at all. That didn't no yeah no one knows about that. I've deleted everything now. But
I was gonna say I love outing people on this podcast for old content.
It's gone.
Last time we had Kat Wheeler on, and she was talking about her Minecraft fan fiction, and I was like, we've got to find it. And I love outing people for that, but you have scrubbed all evidence. I have
because, like, I'm not gonna lie, there was quite a lot of cringy stuff on there. I'm not a very YouTube person. I did have fun doing it, but when TikTok landed, it's so easy to use. It's so bloody, like, you just pick up your phone and you can edit it on your phone, and it's and I love the trends, and I like making funny things. I like making, you know, funny, relatable stuff to working in the film industry as well, using trending audios. I don't know. It's just fun. So I hope that answered your question, basically.
Has it been mad for you how much you, because your TikTok is rather big. It's like blown up quite a bit. Has it been a bit mad for you how it's blown up?
I don't know how to answer this, to be honest, because it's quite a weird one. I think, it's pretty cool because I've got, I think, almost 80,000 followers, and I've got like nearly 3 million likes, which is mind-blowing to me. I actually can't believe that. But in the grand scheme of things, like, it's not actually that big compared to a lot of people who use
TikTok. I suppose on TikTok, I suppose I compare it to sort of YouTube numbers because I don't sort of use TikTok, but like 80,000 on YouTube feels a lot more than 80,000 on TikTok, which is weird.
100%.
It's the same amount of people, but it just seems like 80,000 on YouTube is a bigger commitment because it's longer videos and, like, it's sort of like you're keeping up with like a schedule, but on TikTok it's more just like a constant stream of like shorter videos. It's a weird one. I need to, there is a Who Knew TikTok, but I am
I know,
a grandad.
I tagged you in it today. I made
did
a post
you?
Just before. Yeah, I made a post I went on Zoom.
That's exciting.
I was just, it's not anything exciting, please. I was literally just eating sushi and talking about how I was going to do a podcast.
That's fine. I've just gotten to the point where I'm now addicted to TikTok.
Oh, same.
But making TikToks, I'm such a granddad. I made like 3 TikToks, and I need to get back on it because I know that it will also help the podcast, and, you know, more people will see it. But I just need to do it. But it scares me. I don't know why it scares me so much. It's just because it's new and I'm an old man now. And
it was quite nice in the beginning. It allowed me to sort of get used to it and understand how to use it. When people weren't watching me, you know, I could just experiment and do whatever I wanted and just put out the cringiest stuff. All deleted now. it's just going on there and practicing, or just make like a random account and just, because no one's really going to find it unless you blow up and you go viral, and then people will know about it. But when you're first starting out, just like post lots of random stuff and enjoy yourself, basically.
I need to do it. I'm going to post clips from this on TikTok, I promise. Follow the Who Knew TikTok, and also follow Fettin on TikTok at Mary Fetts.
Mary.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Wonderful. Before we go for a break, we're going to have a little short break in a minute before we get into some features. I just had one question that popped into my head. I think I heard it on another podcast, if I'm honest, and I'm nicking it. But I just thought it was quite an interesting question for you, because you are someone who on TikTok spends your life answering questions. And I assume you have about a list of like 47 questions that you get asked every single day.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what's it like to work with this person? And like, do you meet lots of celebrities and things like that? I tried to stay away as far away as that from those questions as possible, because you answer a lot of them on your TikTok anyway. Well, the question I wanted to ask you is, what question do you never get asked that you wish you would get asked?
Oh, what question? Oh, that's such a good question itself. Also, what do I wish people would ask me but they don't?
Yeah, is there something that you're like, I have like this thing in my head that I could get out, but no one's asking me the right questions to get it out?
Do you know what? I wish people would ask me more about like, oh, I don't know. Oh, this is such an interesting question. How do I answer this one? You've got me a little bit stumped here now. I would just love to do more things like from set, like film myself on set doing certain things and to show people. But people don't tend to ask those questions often. Like, it is generally mainly about like how to get into the industry, things like that. But I don't tend to get a lot of questions about like, oh, what do you do like when this is happening? Or what do you do if like an actor just disappears on set, which has happened so many times. We lost a cast member in the woods once for about 20 minutes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he was just wandering about in the woods at Lost. Just came across like strangers as well. He could have been kidnapped. You know, funny things happen on set, but I don't get a lot of stuff about like what I'm doing on set. It's mainly about how to get into the industry. And I get a lot of questions about, which is understandable. But I would like to talk about more the work that I actually do on set.
Yeah. So it's more like the technical side of things, like what you actually do day to day. Like people are just like, just get me in and then I'll figure that out later.
Yeah.
And just get me through the door. I did come up with another question, which is a bit daft. And you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, because it is a silly question. I was going to say, out of every actor that you've worked with on a set, not including the ones that already have, who would you cast to play the Doctor?
From someone I've worked with?
Someone you've worked with.
Oh my God, that is such a good question. I have to think about like hundreds of actors now.
Yeah.
Hang on.
So, because I'm right in saying you've worked with people who've played the Doctor. I'm sure I've heard that you've worked with a couple of people.
The only person I've worked with that has played the Doctor is David Tennant.
Right. Okay.
I've not worked with Matt Smith. I've not worked with Peter Capaldi, Christopher Eccles.
That was the one I had in mind. I thought I'd seen a TikTok where you mentioned David Tennant working with David Tennant.
And funnily enough, that was my first ever job in scripted.
Oh my God.
And I didn't know until the night before. So then I couldn't sleep. So yeah, that was a bit of a shock to me and seeing him in person. And it was very like, you know, I'm not someone who fangirls over celebrities really, but when it comes to Doctor Who, I absolutely do. I am the biggest fangirl you'll see. It was very hard to like keep super professional, like going up to him and being like, David. I'm just there like, oh, you're David Tennant. You're Doctor Who. I had your posters up on my wall. But yeah, that was a bit of a crazy one. Oh my God, no, I still need to answer your question. You might have to give me a moment. I might need to pause here.
That's fine. Take your time.
Okay.
I can cut this. So
okay, yeah, thank you, because I actually properly want to think about this.
I'll evidently forget to cut this. So if anyone's watching this, I'm sorry that I didn't cut this because I probably forgot. But
this is actually the break.
We're just chilling, yeah.
This is actually the break.
This is the break,
it's just me like pondering.
Okay.
I've got two names for you. Okay, I feel this is a bit of a crazy one. Look, I think Mel Gilroy as the Doctor would be absolutely hilarious.
So good. Your TikToks with her are so funny.
Yeah,
so funny.
Yeah, she was proper up for them.
I'm going to flash a picture. I'm doing jazzy editing now. I'm going to flash a picture here for people who may not know by name.
If you don't know who Mel is, she's like the duo Mel and Sue from Bake Off. Well, used to be from Bake Off. And I absolutely love her. I've been watching her for years, but I worked with her back in 2020, and she's genuinely one of the loveliest people I've ever worked with. And I just think she'd be a proper funny doctor. She's hilarious. Yeah. And I've got a second name for you. I worked with Amy Fionn Edwards really closely. And you might have to flash a photo as well. But if you don't know Amy, she was in Skins.
Why do I not know this person from name? I will know them if they're from Skins. I will know them.
Yeah, yeah. I'll show you a quick photo now, actually.
Oh yeah, you show me a fair. Oh yes, yes. She'd be great. She's really weird in Skins.
She was very weird and thin. I worked with her because she's in season two of Slow Horses. So she was in quite a bit. I don't think I'm spoiling anything. They've released like photos of it, so it should be fine. Okay. But I worked with her. Absolutely lovely human being. And I think it'd be very interesting to see her as the doctor as well. I would say she is so petite that like it would be so funny to see her like the previous doctor's clothes on her. Because if you know, if 12's clothes was that big on 13, I can't on Amy would be like she would look like a baby and I'm like
drowning.
So cute. I'm gonna go with this put me on a spiral, Josh, honestly.
So we've gone on a tangent. This has been about 4 hours we've been working.
Yeah. I'm going to say Amy Fionn Edwards and Mel Geldreich, I think, from the people that I have worked with.
Great, great selection. And we're gonna go to a break now. Just a very short break. So everybody go and get a cup of tea or something or an alcoholic beverage if you want to settle in for the evening. And when we come back, we're going to see what Fettin wants to put in that fabled, lovely, cozy DVD collection. Those three words.
I spent ages about it.
Yeah, well, we'll see what you put in. But we'll see you on the other side. See you in a minute.
See you in a bit.
Back to Who Knew, a Doctor Who podcast. I'm still your host, Josh Carr. I'm still here with Fettin.
Yeah, I'm still here too, surprisingly.
Yes, we've changed slightly. I've changed my framing because I didn't like it. And Fettin's taken a jacket off.
Yeah, I don't know why I was wearing it, to be honest.
Who cares about continuity? All we care about is one little feature that is coming right up. Piping hot. It's the DVD collection.
By the power of Grayskull.
The Unicorn and the Wasp or Love of Monsters?
Which one do you think I'll prefer?
No, I mean, which one do you want to watch first?
You are pulling my leg.
So, the DVD collection. For anybody who's listening for the first time, the DVD collection is a collection of stories submitted by my wonderful guests, which are deemed to basically be like quintessential Doctor Who stories. They may mean a lot to that person. They may just be really good. And in some cases, they may be not very good. But we're going to see what Fettin wants to put in the DVD collection. So please enlighten us.
Okay. First of all, I hate your rule of not being able to choose the same thing as someone else. That's not fair.
Because we can't have duplicate DVDs in the collection.
You can in my reality.
Okay, what would you have put in that's already in?
I would have. So my first thing I would have said was Heaven Sent.
And fair enough.
I'm not surprised someone's already chosen that.
No, that was Jack Reeves. That was the wonderful Jack Reeves of the Community show. So damn you, Jack.
Yeah. I would have also said Vincent and the Doctor. That makes me cry every single time. It hits
great episode.
So hard. And oh my gosh.
To shout out again, that was Pete Levy, the producer of Doctor Who Flux. There's two that you couldn't win. And also, you did reveal to me that had the rules been different, you did have a different pick. So I will allow you to give that an honorary mention, although it cannot, by the rules that I set, which I now hate myself for, go in the collection. So please take the floor with that first.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to say, what was it called? Hang on. So it's called Farewell Sarah Jane, which, like, if you remember from 2020, when they started releasing these like mini clips, mini episodes on YouTube. Oh my God. Honestly, Doctor Who helped me get through 2020. I genuinely mean that. Like, especially with the watch-alongs that we were doing.
Oh, yes.
All these little things. But I loved Sarah Jane so much. I love Sarah Jane Adventures. And I was so happy when she came back and met Ten. And it's just nice that they gave her a goodbye and they acknowledged that, like, she's gone. I get emotional when I think about it.
It's such. I cried like a little baby when that came out. I cried so much.
It's
so lovely and it's so well made. And it was just it was an emotional time anyway for a lot of people. And just piling that on was just not fair for my emotions. It crumbled me. But today I have to be cruel. Horrible rules man, because I set the rules and I can't change them now, but I wish I could, because I'd love that to be in. It's in there. I'll sneak it in. Fuck it. You can have it. Why not? But anyway, I don't think we've ever had someone have three picks that we can't have four. So what?
Because I still have to choose one that fit.
Yes. So which one after this roller coaster of trying to pick an episode, which one did you finally land on?
Okay, well, look, this might be controversial. I don't know. But Fugitive of the Jadoon.
Ooh,
yeah,
nice.
I love that episode. I've rewatched it more than any other 13 episode, I'm going to say. And it's really funny because when I first watched it, I actually didn't like it as much. I remember I was kind of critical about it because I was so tired of this like trope of another doctor coming back, or, you know, like John Hurt, or because I'm not going to lie, I'm not the biggest fan of the War Doctor.
And right, okay.
After that, I was just like, enough. Like, I'm done with it. So when I first watched Fugitive of the Jadoon, I was a bit like, oh, again, like, how many secret doctors are there out? Like, it's getting old now. But then, oh my God, it's one of my favorite episodes now. I absolutely love, I love Ruth. I that reveal scene is amazing. I don't know, I absolutely love it. I think it's the right amount of funny and emotional. And it's really the first time where we really start to sense that something is really wrong with the Doctor's timeline. That was kind of nice as well, because as you know, in series 11 we didn't really have a lot of like story arcs apart from that one drop of like, you like something about the timeless child, and she was like, what, to the, you know, flying rags. And that's kind of all we got in series 11. So the fact that we were starting to get like actual story arcs in series 12 as well,
yeah, it was the drips and drabs, and it took a while to get sort of like a bit of like continuous story. It's a wild episode, and It fascinates me just because, I mean, I think Vinay Patel is just a great Doctor Who writer, and I want to see more of Vinay Patel in the future, please. And it was just the reveal, obviously at the time it's slightly been soured now, the Jack reveal, which is a shame. But the Ruth reveal, I just walked around the house, just sort of going, what? And I tried to explain it to Jess. Jess isn't really a Doctor Who fan. In fact, she hates a lot of it in a hilarious way. But I tried to explain things to her and she was just like, I have no idea what the fuck you were talking about. I was like, there's a new Doctor.
It is confusing.
Like, how? And I was like, I don't know. But that moment is... Like, I'm pretty sure it won a moment award or something at like a national television awards or something. That was a big moment. Like the minute where she just wipes the dirt and you see the TARDIS underground. And the music. The music's amazing.
You know what I thought when I first watched it though? My first thought was that it was someone who thought they were the Doctor, a bit like you know that special episode with 10.
The next Doctor, with Jackson Lake.
And that person thinks he's that. I honestly actually thought that was the case because I was like, well, what? I was so confused. And I was like, surely not another like secret Doctor. Like, this must be someone who just thinks they're the Doctor. And then there was the question of like, okay, no, this is the Doctor, I guess, but like, is it before Hartnell? Is it after Hartnell? There were so many questions. And yeah, I don't know. I just absolutely love it. So that is the one that I'm going to go with.
Wonderful.
But yeah, all the other ones get a little mention from me as well.
A little honorary mention. Fair enough. And yeah, I mean, it's a weird, mad, baffling episode, but that's just Doctor Who in a nutshell, really, isn't it? And I'm intrigued because I feel like there's still so many questions, and this now leads back to how do you answer and close everything in the centenary? There's still so many questions from that episode that haven't been answered.
Yeah.
And if they do cover it in the centenary, I think it could just make this episode even better. Like, if we get a bit of closure on Lee and Gat and that whole division Time Lord stuff, and if we get a bit of closure on that, then
I want to know about Gat. I want to know about Lee.
I'm
not gonna lie, justice for Lee, because justice for Lee, because you're telling me he's that committed to protecting the Doctor. She doesn't even blink when she learns that he's dead. She's just like, leave.
They're married as well. They're a couple.
And also, you know, when like she gets her memories back, there's no mention of Lee. There's not like,
That's weird. I want something. I mean, like, we know that Joe's doing Big Finish. Maybe that's what Big Finish is there for. Maybe Big Finish will expand it.
I'm not going to lie, that really upset me when she just popped off her companion that just put his life.
He just died. You know, hashtag justice for Lee.
Justice for Lee. Like, I will be forever bitter about that. It's just, it would have been nice to acknowledge. Because, you know, from what we know about the Doctor, her companions are very important to them. So for me, it just made no sense that she had no emotion to his death. I don't know. I could rant about this for a while, you know.
Yeah, fair enough. And just a quick update, because it wasn't the intention, but it seems to have become a bit of a thing that there is a leaderboard of how many stories there are for each Doctor.
Mm.
And this is a big one, because you've just given two Doctors a story, which is you've given us a multi-doctor story, which I think might be the first multi-doctor story that we've had.
I don't think
we've had one.
Shall I look at the list really quickly?
I don't think we have.
Journey's End,
I wouldn't count it.
I'm not gonna claim that, we're claiming it.
And that also means that now Fugitive Doctor has a story, because this was basically one of the only options.
And she deserves it.
She's now off the mark. And in two episodes, 13th Doctor has gone from having zero to having two and has shot up the leaderboard. So now we're only left with the War Doctor, the 8th Doctor, and the 6th Doctor. Oh, that's sad. That's sad for me because he's got two full series. And he's not had a story yet, so hopefully Sixie gets a story.
We're going to have to give the next person a little nudge.
Yeah, but 10 and 4 are firmly at the top of the tree.
I'm not surprised, though. 10 does have, like, a really good amount of episodes under his belt.
Yeah, 10's got six. 10's got six episodes in there. But, well, technically, the 9th Doctor's got three stories, but they're all two-parters, so he's technically got six episodes, which is like half of his run is
in
there.
That's pretty good.
Because all three two-parters are in. So he's like 50% of his entire run on TV.
Yeah.
He's like deemed to be quintessential Doctor Who, which is just great. I love that for the 9. He does. So that was the DVD collection. Great pick. Fugitive of the Jadoon. It's a difficult one to say, but it's in. It's a fugitive. I always want to say fugitive of the Jadoon.
I have to really pronounce it.
Yeah. Fugitive of the Jadoon is in. And we are going in to the Fiery Hell Pits. We're going to take a little dip in the bag of hell that is bloody Twitter.
For God's sake! Bloody Twitter!
Thank you, David, for bringing us in there with a lovely Scottish brogue of bloody Twitter. Obviously, this is where we get questions from you lot at home, my lovely lot of listeners, and you ask some wonderful and some weird questions for Fettin this week. So, first question. This is where I've got to read, and my eyesight is so bad. It's from Jack at @an_awful_Jack, the host of An Awful Lot of Running podcasts, very dear friend of the show. He said, what is your go-to Doctor Who episode? So like a comfort episode, I think he means. So I, for example, like none of my favourite episodes are like my comfort episodes. I don't like, if I was going to stick an episode on, I wouldn't necessarily put my favourite on.
Yeah.
I've got some weird ones.
Because when I think about my favourites, they're very stressful. Like my favourites are like the amount of times I've seen Blink, I've seen Midnight so many times.
They are not comfort episodes.
They're not
they?
Comfort, but they're so good that I've seen them so many times. Like they are the ones that I'll just pop on. So my comfort, I think I'm probably going to have to go with a 13. Episode only because like at the moment that's the main doctor and that's the one I'm watching the most and she's my favorite doctor. Okay, I'm gonna say The Haunting of Villa Diodati.
Oh yeah, also another quite stressful and scary episode, but it is quite comforting.
I find it quite cozy. I mean, it's the whole aesthetic of it is quite cozy anyway, because it's like a little bit dark, candle like everywhere. I don't know, there's something about it.
I have a bit of a secret kink, not but for Dockie Who in a big almost haunted stately home is like my vibe for a Doctor Who episode. Like that's a bit of me.
Yeah,
I love like the Doctor in like a stuffy, like stately home or like a big mansion, and it's all gothic and dark and creepy. I love that. And they're like my favorite Big Finish audios as well, because I feel like it's such like a soundscape to it. Like you can hear like all the wood and people walking on wood. Like Chimes of Midnight is like the one like for Big Finish. Yeah. And like that's just my thing. I was thinking about that earlier today. I just love Dockie Who in a haunted house.
Yeah, it's just so nice. They're like stuck in it and it's a bit of a maze. And even though it is kind of like, it's meant to be scary, it was a Halloween episode, wasn't it? But even then, it's really funny. Like, it's quite a funny episode, despite how dark it is, especially towards the end. It gets very dark towards the end.
Yeah, it's like at one moment, it's like, let's have a funny, silly dance. Then it's like, I cut my children's throats. it's a Whiplash episode, definitely.
And at any time, anytime we get a tiny bit of a costume change for 13, I get so happy because for ages, yeah, she had absolutely no costume changes. None at all. She barely takes her jacket off. Like, it's the one thing that actually really annoys me, because a lot of the other doctors do tend to sometimes change up a little bit, maybe not mine. I think he takes his jacket off once and that's all.
Yeah. And he gets like a slightly different colored jumper sometimes. He gets like a green or a burgundy or a blue, but it makes absolutely no difference at all.
Yeah. Really. Like, super dark. Yeah, I don't know. I would have just liked to see something a little bit different for 13. As much as I like her costume, it would have been nice to see. Do you know what? I would have liked to see her in more muted colours, in like series 13. So her last series, I would have liked to see that. So I was also excited about in Sea Devils when she wore a completely different outfit. I was so happy. She looks so good at it as well.
And the blue coat in Flux.
Even that, I was just like, there's something different. I love it.
Yeah.
I was still a bit like, take the jacket off though.
Yeah, the jacket. It'll be warm. I think that costume looks so much better. Just the top. It's the coolest outfit like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I would like to see like more like a little bit darker and more muted colors on her, because as much as I like all the color that she does have, I don't know. I just wanted something a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely get that. But yeah, I do like a little series on my channel called The Speakeasy. I might do an episode revolving around comfort episodes and talk about that, because it's an interesting topic and I'm intrigued about what makes a comfort episode. Mine are all Christmas and I watch them all year round.
When you've said that, I remembered one episode that I do watch a lot, and it is a comfort episode as well. The Husbands of Riversong.
Yes,
I love favorite. That
that's also one of my favorite episodes of Doctor Who.
Yeah, it ever. Is amazing. I love that episode. It is a comfort episode for me. I love Christmassy, spirity stuff anyway. I love 12. I love 13, and it's such a funny episode, and so much happens in it, and the sort of bickering between them is so lovely. It's just so nice to see on Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Again, the end does destroy me because it's so sad. But yeah, that actually, I'm gonna have to mention that as well, because that is amazing.
See, for me, I the Christmas Invasion, I have watched I would imagine I've probably watched it more than any other Doctor Who episode, even though it's not my favourite. It's just such a comfort to me, and I don't know why. It should be traumatic, because it's 9 is my doctor, and this is the first episode without 9. But I don't know. I will watch it any time of the year. There is no Christmas limit for me. Like, I've watched it like 5 times this year already. And
I work with the director of Christmas Invasion, James Hall, because he directed the first season of Slow Horses.
Yes, he did.
And when I, because again, like if someone's worked on Doctor Who, I will talk to you about Doctor Who. So when I first found out I'm working with him, and I was like, oh my God, you've directed Doctor Who. So I had to go up to him and talk to him about it. And when Russell T Davies was announced that he was coming back, he actually, we were on set and he stopped me and he was like, Betten, have you heard? And I was like, yes. He was like, how do you feel? And I was like, I'm just like really excited. Like, he was my favorite showrunner, because obviously he's worked with Russell T Davies. That was the only episodes he ever directed was with Russell T Davies. But it's also so nice talking to someone who's worked from that era as well. I did have to say, because he directed the, you know, the Are You My Mummy episode.
Oh, yes, yes. My favorite, what pretty much my favorite episode ever.
Yeah, I was talking to him about that, and I was like, you know, that's like one of the highest rated Doctor Who episodes. So he's like, really? And I was like, yeah, how do you not know this? Like, we still talk about it till this day. It's been like 16 years. He's like, oh, cool.
Next question is from Kel at generic_tweeting. They have asked, not Doctor Who for once, what is your advice for people who are trying to get into the TV industry, but don't necessarily have the connections or qualifications that might give them a bit of a leg up? P.S. I still haven't forgiven you for saying that you don't like Tooth and Claw.
What? How did I know this?
I saw that on TikTok, and I have not forgotten it either.
Mike, they are not lying. They have not. That's been like 2 years since I even said something like that. Wow.
Well, these things stick.
I will.
You can't say anything these days without it will get brought up, and you will get cancelled.
No,
I need ramifications for your.
I feel like I need to defend myself before I get cancelled. I don't think I said I don't like it. I think it was me ranking, and I was saying which are my least liked episodes from the series.
I actually watched this one today, so I can tell you. You said it was the ones from each series that you would skip.
Oh!
Which is quite damning for Tooth and Claw.
Am I going to get cast? Wait, hang on. Oh, no.
Nah, it's fine. It's not even that popular an episode. It's basically just me and Cal and my girlfriend who are obsessed with it.
I do skip it.
And it's because, right, here you go. This is something that I bring up to people sometimes, and it gets in their heads. And this is my headcanon. I think Tooth and Claw is one of the most important episodes of Doctor Who that's ever existed. Because it is the turning point for the rest of Doctor Who.
Did you bring me on here to get cancelled? Is this what this is?
No, this isn't an ambush.
You caught a liar.
No. This is I've mentioned this on Twitter a couple of times, but the moment where the Doctor and Rose make the bet on whether the Queen will say, "I am not amused."
Oh yeah,
causes everything afterwards. That is like if that doesn't happen, Rose doesn't get trapped in a parallel universe, Cybermen doesn't happen, loads of things just don't happen if they just don't make the bet.
Yeah.
It's like the biggest fuck up ever. It's like a mad butterfly effect, and it's just a very important episode.
I need to clear my name. Just because, okay.
Just say it's the best episode of Doctor Who ever.
I'm going to rephrase it. I'm not going to say it's skippable. I'm just going to say it's not a very rewatchable episode for me.
I'd say that's probably second on my most rewatched ever. I've seen it so many times. Mainly because my beloved girlfriend Jess, who doesn't like Doctor Who, but she likes a very select few Doctor Who episodes adores, but then the rest she hates.
Yeah.
So there is like poles between them. But like she will watch Tooth and Claw just on repeat, and she adores it.
There are some episodes that I can rewatch so many times, and then Tooth and Claw is one of those that I will only rewatch if I'm doing a full on rewatch, and it's crucial to the whole story. But I won't go back and rewatch it on its own. I'm so sorry, Josh. You look so disappointed.
It's fine. Don't worry. This has been Who Knew, a Doctor Who podcast. Let's wrap it up. Let's go home. Needs
to forgive me. I will. Well, I was so called out. I will say about the advice about getting into film and TV. There's a lot to cover, but the best thing I can tell you is if you go on my account, I have a playlist labeled film and TV. So if you click on that, I think I've got like 150 videos on there. and they've all got like tips and advice on how to get into the industry, and a lot of things that I mentioned today. I even have videos on how to use the radios on set and the sort of lingo that you need, because knowing how to use the radio is very important in the film industry. So that I would say that's the best thing for me to say. Otherwise, I could be here for like 2 hours answering that question.
Yeah, well, there you go. And again, I've watched a lot of those videos, and like you just came on my For You page like a year and a half ago. And I've watched your videos ever since, and it's, I mean, even if you don't want to get in the film and TV industry, watch them anyway, because I just find it absolutely fascinating. And it's like watching behind the scenes of Doctor Who Confidential. It's like seeing a Confidential of Confidential, because you show like just what the day to day is like. It's lush. And yeah, I highly recommend. And we've got time for one more question. So I've got one more question, and it's from Sam Gingle, who is one of my resident weird question askers, which I like. And this is a weird question, but I am so down. What is wrong with your mind, Sam? You are allowed to
burn... I thought that was the question, by the way. Thought the question was what's wrong with your mind. I was like, oh, wow.
You are allowed to burn one building to the ground. What building do you choose to unleash your hellfire upon, and why?
Well, you're not wrong. That is a weird question.
It's a weird question, Sam.
And this is non-Doctor Who related. This isn't about a Doctor Who building.
Nothing to do with Doctor Who. This is just burning. This is just a question solely about arson.
I feel like we're treading on dangerous territory here, because it's political.
Okay. Right, let's just say we are not going to burn any buildings to the ground. This is not a threat of burning any buildings to the ground.
Blame us.
We are not. This is just a hypothetical, silly question. So tell me why it's Downing Street.
It is Downing Street.
It's Downing Street. It's just Downing Street, isn't it? I actually asked...
I told you all get political, so...
We've had this before. I'm pretty sure Anthony Way, who was a Dalek operator, got asked, I think it was something like, where would you go if you could be a Dalek for a day? And he said he'd just go to Downing Street and kill everybody.
Yeah, I told you it would be something political, because I get into politics quite a bit, and I get very angry at the government. So,
and just to clarify, we will not be burning down Downing Street.
We will not.
That was a joke. We will not be doing that.
Be burning down. I can't even light a match. So,
yeah, we won't. We'll talk about that later. anyway, so we're coming towards... That was Bloody Twitter, by the way. Thank you. And thank you for such a weird end, Sam. So that was Bloody Twitter. Thank you for everybody who submitted questions. Sorry that we didn't get through them all. But we do have, before the end of the show, sadly, we have one final feature to go to. And it's time to get your carpet slippers on, pull your house coat around you, get a nice glass of Chateau Neuf de Pape. I don't know anything about wine, so that didn't roll.
I honestly thought you were going to say like a glass of warm milk.
No, well, you can go, let's have warm milk, a glass of warm
milk. People are going to hate me for that.
And a cigar.
Combo.
Milk and smoke, smoky milk. So we will take a stroll down these wonderful corridors of this metaphorical mansion. And where do I go with these? I just lose my mind. It's the Corridor of Fang.
Have you ever been limited by who you were before?
One day I shall come back. Yes, I shall come back.
Our lives are different.
Dear,
Sarah Jane?
Do I have the right?
For some people, small, beautiful events is what life is all about.
Less time and nursery compared to us. 10 million years of absolute power. That's what it takes to be really
corrupt. Every great decision creates ripples. Like a huge boulder dropped in a lake.
But it was a childish dream that made you a doctor. You dreamt you could
no more.
Fame. So basically, it's a Hall of Fame for Doctor Who. I ripped off the concept from Halls of Fames. So Fettin, who would you like to submit to the Corridor of Fame?
Okay, I'm pretty sure this person isn't on there.
Okay.
Better not be. I read that so many times, that list that you gave me.
It's getting a long list. It's a long yeah. It's more difficult now that there's like 40 people on there.
Yeah.
We may have to do something, but yeah, I'll tell you if they are, so yeah. It's fine.
Okay, thank you. But I would like to submit Freema Agyeman.
Yes. Perfect choice.
She is so underrated. Like, I absolutely love Martha Jones. I love her. And I know we only got one season of her, but I just feel like we don't talk about her enough and how amazing she was. And I love Freema.
Yes. Wonderful pick. She was actually, I believe, very, 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 very close to getting in our Christmas episode. We had sort of like a Corridor of Fame competition. Mm. And it was whoever won the quiz got to submit their pick. Yeah. And it was her and Pearl Mackey missed out by like 2 points.
Oh, and, I love Pearl as well.
I know. Pearl will get in there, I'm sure. But Freema is a fantastic choice. And yeah, I agree. She's an incredibly underrated companion. And I feel like she's sort of... Part of me feels like there's sometimes things in Doctor Who where your tastes change as you get older. It's sort of like how like people say like when you don't like beer or like wine when you're younger, and it's like when you're older you will.
I was young. I've always
loved Martha, but I would never have said she was like my favourite. For whatever reason, like, but then like rewatching it as I'm older, I'm like, you went through some shit, and you got treated like shit.
Yeah,
she got treated like shit on and off screen, which she's spoken about very eloquently, and you know, I would urge you to go and see what Freema has to say about that rather than hearing it regurgitated by me, but. It was always going to be, you know, you still see it to this day when it comes to, like you were talking before about diversity in media and, you know, the fact that she was the first Black companion in the show. And unfortunately, you do get that horrible, hostile reaction that shouldn't happen, and it's ridiculous and disgusting.
It's so rude to me because I didn't know at the time, like I had no clue.
That's the thing, when I feel like you sort of don't really realize when you're a kid, and I was so young at the time. I was like 9 or 10 when she was in the show.
Older.
Yeah, but it's like you don't really learn about these things until you're older, and it's now like looking back on it retroactively and seeing the way that she was treated, like in the media, is just shocking, and it's awful, and it still happens to this day, and it's horrendous that it does, and like you still see it now with like the casting of Shooty Gatwa.
Also, she ended up with Mickey, which
no,
justice for Freema,
justice for Freema,
I'm just coming on here to like
I would love her to come back.
I honestly thought she might be because of like all that unit stuff happening.
Yes,
she works in unit. Like
she might. I think she's quite likely.
But I know she's in America now, though. So do like, and there's been no talk or no sighting of her in England. So, I don't know.
I would love her to come back. Mainly to correct that ending. And, you know, have her divorce him in some kind of hilarious way. I mean, Freema Agyeman is fantastic in the show. And she's fantastic when she comes back as well. I think, she's better when she comes. I love her in Series 4. Mm. I love her in Torchwood as well. She's so good in Torchwood. Yeah, like I feel like she doesn't get the props that she deserves. I saw that really weird photo shoot that they did. I don't know if you've ever seen that from when they announced her in Torchwood, and she's just sort of like lying up against the wall.
I think I remember, and
it's really weird. It's one of those. Freema didn't get dealt the best hand with photo shoots because there's also that weird one where like her and David are dressed in the most 2007 clothes you could see. Like just stood in an empty room and like David looks like a geography teacher. It's really weird.
Honestly,
it's strange.
So funny though. Like I don't know what was going through people's minds, but that was the vibe back then and we all just rolled with it.
I think there's a parallel universe where all of series 3 happens, but they're dressed like that the whole time. They're just wearing those outfits.
Y2K.
I need to see it. But Freema is in.
Yes.
Wonderful pick. I'm so glad. She's one of those where I feel like she was always going to get in there at some point.
Yeah,
and I'm glad that she's here because it just feels right. She's. I don't think we've had many modern companions in either. So that's good. I'm glad. We've not had many. Oh. Like Billy's not in there. Catherine's not in there.
Kate isn't in there.
No, not yet.
Oh, interesting.
Not yet. Bernard Cribbins isn't in yet, which obviously I hope. I mean, he is in my heart. He will be, of course.
He's amazing. Well, there is a lot of people. To be fair, there is a lot. Like, I really had to think about it because there's so many people that deserve to be on there.
Yeah, there's the list is endless.
Yeah,
that's why it's like. It's the thing in the show that I feel like just has the most legs because this could go on for I could do 5,000 episodes and you could probably not run out of people to talk about involved in Doctor Who, from all the writers, directors, actors, all of the fans who do amazing projects and all of the people behind the scenes who run the show, all of the people who write the books and the Big Finish audios. Just like tens of thousands of people have been involved, and you could stick them all in because they made, I mean, not all, there's a few that we can bin off, but we can stick most of them in and be very happy. So that brings us very sadly to the end of the show, which is a shame because I've absolutely loved this one. Well, I love them all, but this has been a great episode, and it's been fascinating to talk to you, and we've had a great laugh as well.
I did warn you I can talk as well, so.
Oh yeah, that's fine. Well, you've got a little bit more to do because I do actually have one question before we go.
Okay. Yeah.
It's probably the hardest question I will ask you all night, and everybody struggles. I will just say, if you can't do it in a sentence. Disregard the sentence, but in a sentence, what does Doctor Who mean to you?
That is a hard one because it means a lot.
It stumps everybody. I ask everyone and it stumps them all. It's really hard. I'm so glad that no one's ever asked me this.
No, I'm gonna reverse and ask you in a second.
Not a chance. I will just end the podcast.
Yeah, you can. You've got the editing.
I've had like 2 years to think about this, and I have never come up with an answer.
It's so
in a sentence. I can't do it. And other people have given such good answers, and it's like, not to put the pressure on, but you know.
Okay. I'm trying to see if this is going to come out the way I want it to.
Okay.
Okay. Doctor Who is a timeless adventure full of hope.
Oh, that's lovely. That's a great answer. It Yay. Came out exactly how you wanted it to come out. So that's good.
Sweating.
It's a tense question. It's a hard question to answer.
Yeah.
But that is a lovely answer and wonderfully delivered. And you've also been a fantastic guest. So thank you for joining me. Before you go, this is your time to shine. This is your time to plug. So please plug whatever you want to plug of your own stuff, which may involve Watch the Sandman. And blow horses. So,
and yeah, I'm definitely
going to do like, that. So,
look, I did a lot on Slow Horses, so y'all better watch that because there's a lot of work that went into that one. But yeah, my TikTok is, you mentioned it before, Mary Fetts, and that's spelled MerryFetts. And then I've got I made like a public Instagram. I've never had a public Instagram before. But that one is Mary Fett, so just without the S at the end. That's only because I did have Mary Fett's and I forgot the password and I can't go back in. So yeah, just plugging those two. And I, you know, whenever something is coming out that I've worked on, like the time comes when I can actually talk about it, I will post about it on TikTok and I will mention it and stuff. The only thing is usually it takes years for something to come out, so yeah. Hence the Sandman coming out 2 years after I work.
Yeah, originally. If you see something in the background of a TikTok and think, oh, that looks good, get ready to watch it in 2026 basically. Yeah. Is what you say. Yeah. But yes, I cannot recommend Fettin's TikTok more because it's fascinating and it's really fun, and you also do some hilarious videos as well. Find the ones with Mel from Mel and Sue, please, because everyone at home, yeah, they are hilarious.
It's one of the pinned ones, so you can, if you go on my
good
right at first. Yeah,
lovely. And you've been listening to Who Knew, a Doctor Who podcast. As I said, I'm your host, Josh Carr. You can follow me on Twitter at Josh Ryan Carr. You can follow the podcast at Who Knew Podcast. You can send us an email if you want. No one ever has, but if you want to, it's whoknewdwpod@gmail.com. Who emails these days? You can also find us on Instagram, where I haven't updated it for ages, which is a shambles, at Who Knew DW Pod, and probably the same on TikTok. But yeah, I'm sure if you just type in Who Knew, it'll come up. Also, you can subscribe on YouTube, and you can get video versions of all of the podcasts and watch our lovely faces as we chat away. So please check that out. Please share, subscribe, like it. Please share it around. I'm trying to grow the YouTube a little bit more because I'm going to try and do some more different things on there as well. And this is available wherever you get your pods as well. So Apple, Google, and wherever you fancy. And other than that, there's the Patreon. If you want to support us on Patreon, you can, for as little as £1 a month. Obviously, I know times are hard, so there is no obligation. But if you do, you'll get early access to content and some other snazzy things as well. And maybe even a badge. If you sign up to one of the higher tiers, you'll get a little Who Knew badge, like a Blue Peter one. I'm trying to make it a thing, but I don't think it's become a thing.
I have a Blue Peter badge.
What?
Yeah, it's my most prized possession. I did a triathlon when I was like 11.
I would die for a Blue
Peter. Yeah, it's locked away.
Oh my god! But I wouldn't want one of the jazzy ones. I want a white one. I want the original. So I don't want like a gold one.
You wouldn't want the RuPaul's one either. The RuPaul's.
I haven't seen the RuPaul one.
Did you not know this? In the UK version, oh my god! In the UK version, instead of giving out gifts, because it's on the BBC, so they can't do sponsors, they get, when you win a challenge, they give you a Blue Peter badge, but it's a RuPaul badge. Oh my god!
I need
so
it.
It's so funny.
I'll take it. Why not? They get
so excited over it because it's like,
oh, I can't really get picky about what Blue Peter badge I get. I just want one. Yeah. And yeah, you can also get some merch if you want to get a t-shirt or anything like that with the Who Knew logo on. You can buy a t-shirt, so enjoy. But that went on for long enough, my rambling. But thank you once again for listening. We'll be back next week with an episode with... who will it be next week? I'm terrible at remembering. Beth Axford. Beth Axford will be joining me next week, but we have some very exciting guests lined up and some special plans for the centenary and the anniversary. So please stay tuned and subscribe and like and stuff. Fettin, thank you once again for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I had a blast. And yeah, I can't wait to listen to this when it comes out. Yes. Although it's really cringe listening to my own voice, but...
Oh, how do you think I feel? I've got to edit. I've got to listen to my voice constantly. Yeah. Not your voice. I'm talking about my voice.
Well, it's just a double whammy as well, because it's the voice and the looking at yourself and...
I hate it. But this is what I put myself through for you lot. So thank you for listening.
Thank you.
We'll see you again soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Massive thank you to all of our patrons, and especially Cal King. If you want to become a patron, you can join for as low as £1 a month and get loads of benefits and support the pod. Check out the link in the description. Thanks for listening to Who Knew, a Doctor Who podcast. You can check us out wherever you get your podcasts and now on YouTube. Please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you can, as it really helps us out. And a massive thanks to the Sononauts for lending their cover of the Doctor Who theme to be the theme for the podcast.